Radio News. I'm Diane Kepley. A big hit on home sales in February. New home sales dropped to their lowest level in 13 years. The AP's James Limbach reports.
The decline in new home sales was accompanied by a drop in prices. The government says the median price of a home sold last month dropped 2.7% from the year-ago figure to $244,100.
Treasury Secretary Henry Paulson today said the housing market has to work its way through this rough patch.
A correction was inevitable, and the sooner we work through it with a minimum of disorder, the sooner we will see home values stabilize, more buyers return to the housing market, and housing will again contribute to economic growth.
In a speech to the Chamber of Commerce, Paulson also said the crash of Wall Street's once mighty Bear Stearns underscores the need to bring investment houses under the kind of federal oversight that has been given to commercial banks. At this hour on Wall Street, the Dow is now down by about 100 points. A lot of American Airlines flights are being canceled or delayed today. Crews are inspecting wire bundles on its M80 aircraft. David Stempler is with the Air Travelers Association.
I think following the Southwest Airlines problem last week, all of the airlines went back and checked all of their records. And I think along with the FAA, they found some maintenance procedures that hadn't been completed.
The need for the new inspections became known during an audit of American by a joint team of inspectors from the FAA and the airline. President Bush at the Pentagon today talking about what's next in Iraq. The AP's Mark Smith reports this is just the latest in a series of recent meetings.
On Monday, the president spoke by secure video link to Iraq Commander General David Petraeus and U.S. Ambassador to Baghdad Ryan Crocker. He's also been consulting members of his national security team. Petraeus and Crocker will appear on Capitol Hill 2 weeks from today as Bush prepares to announce whether more troop withdrawals might be possible.
And this is AP Radio News. Barack Obama's former pastor is canceling more speaking engagements. The Reverend Jeremiah Wright will not be speaking at three services at a Houston church this Sunday. Officials at the church say safety concerns had prompted that decision. Wright also canceled his appearance yesterday in Florida. Volunteers are out with sandbags working to protect farmlands and homes in Arkansas from high floodwaters along the White River.
The levee has where it's bubbling out from underneath it, and if we can't hold it, then it's going to get 20, 30 houses that's going to be underwater.
The river is higher than it has been in a quarter of a century. Federal investigators are assessing damage from the recent flooding there. Democratic presidential candidate Mike Gravel is no longer a Democrat. He's leaving the party to join the Libertarian Party. He sent out an email to supporters which says the Democrats no longer represent what he calls his vision for our great country. I'm Diane Kepley, AP Radio News.
Causes airport concern. That story's next. I'm Doug Eldred with the latest news update from Newstalk 1260 and 540. Let's say hi to Judy Gale and take a look at Wednesday morning traffic.
Good morning, Doug. Right now, big problems for the 14 in Santa Clarita, southbound at 14 before Sand Canyon. Multi-vehicle crash blocks the three right lanes up ahead at San Fernando Road. Injury crash with a car and a truck blocked the two right lanes. Also in El Monte, 10 West after Santa Anita, a couple cars in the number two lane. Slow from Puente, busy again towards Atlantic. North 110, as you connect to the North 5, a truck broke down the left lane of the ramp. And East LA, North 710 at Olympic, a wreck clearing to the right shoulder. South 405 at Western, clearing a problem from the left lane through Torrance. Brought to you by National University, master the business of you. Earn your MBA from National University. Call 1-800-NAT-UNIV. That's traffic on News Talk 1260.
Thank you, Judy, and a pleasant Wednesday morning to you. A suspicious item is causing some concern at Los Angeles International Airport this morning. A spokesperson says that the unidentified item was discovered in Terminal 1 around 7:30 near the Southwest Airlines counter. So far, no more information is being released and no one has been evacuated. John McCain is getting some support from popular former First Lady Nancy Reagan. Nancy Reagan has endorsed the Arizona senator for the presidency.
Ronnie and I always waited until everything is decided, and then we endorsed. Well, obviously, this is the nominee of the party.
Appearing with the former First Lady yesterday, McCain says he's hopeful the endorsement will help unite the Republican Party. The Los Angeles City Council voted to put a request by the DWP for rate hikes of between 6 and 8% for electricity and water on hold during yesterday's meeting. The move came following testimony from both sides of the matter. The issue may be taken up again as early as next month. The San Diego County Board of Supervisors has approved plans for 3 new libraries in the county. Supervisors gave the green light to spend $11 million for a library in Ramona, $10 million for a facility in Fallbrook, and $500,000 to buy a one-acre parcel of land for a library in Alpine. The county will now look to secure funding to build that library. Checking Wall Street, the Dow is currently down 120 points. NASDAQ is off by 27. 1260 and 540 News brought to you by United Rentals. United Rentals offers OSHA-approved safety training programs at their location and yours. To learn more, call 1-800-UR-RENT or visit UnitedRentals.com. United Rentals, consider it done. Southland weather, we're expecting it a little bit cooler today. We have the morning clouds with midday burn-off and then hazy afternoon sun. We're looking near 60 at the coast, mid-60s inland valleys into the low to mid-70s, but mostly sunny for the afternoon. And then tomorrow, partly cloudy with a mix of sun. I'm Doug Eldred. That's the latest news update from News Talk 1260 and 540.
Welcome to the Michael Jackson Show on News Talk 1260 and 540.
I don't think that's fair. I shouldn't air my dirty laundry on the air, but I'm going to. Management wants me to read this public service announcement before. It ruins the whole tempo of what we're aiming for. Okay, it's their station. If you happen to have received, unexpectedly, of course, any parts from a Minuteman intercontinental ballistic missile, or you have mistakenly called FedEx to pick up and ship any spare nuclear warheads you possess, don't do it. Lunacy of this sort can be catching and unsafe. The previous message is broadcast as a public service by no radio station with management or talent in their right mind. Good morning. I'm Michael Jackson. This was KGIL. Our phone number is 1-888-458-1260. One of the nice things, and there are many nice things about the building from which I broadcast each day, is sharing the commodious accommodations with a sister radio station. I'm getting it all off my chest this morning. This one, this partner is Country. Country 105 FM. Floor to floor, room to room, you can hear the sounds of love songs permeating the air. Lots of sighing and dying and going away. Finding her, losing her, wanting her, needing her, you know. I get all that before I've had a chance to be depressed by the market, the world's woes. Ice melting, warring, politicking, the candidates and the criminals. That too is nice. So if you folk who are tuned to the other station, mosey on over here for a while, we'll give you a couple of hours, the splendid hours of the day, to resolve all the major issues that face us daily. Well, that's the aim. That's the goal. So officially, good morning to you. The day is Wednesday, March the 27th. The time now is 9:08. 9:08 and 7 seconds.
It's the 26th.
It's the 26th? They changed it on me again. They screwed around with February as well. I don't understand it. Anyway, what are they playing now at the other station? How would I know? They're on FM. I'm on AM. Can we sneak a listen? Oh, I think I recognize that guitar. It's the latest from a young'un, Brad Paisley. Yes, Brad?
When you see a deer, you see Bambi. I see antlers up on the wall.
Oh, my.
When you see a lake, you think picnics, and I see a large.
Didn't he name his kid Huckleberry? It's him. It's he. That was a live simulcast. I got to get to the first guest. John Nance, you haven't hung up on me yet?
No, not yet, Michael. I'm just glad as heck to get you back on the air.
I'm very happy to be back on the air, as you can probably hear. By the way, are you, before I say more about you, a lawyer?
Yes, I am.
Mm-hmm. I'm so sorry. I know you're a pilot. You're a decorated Air Force pilot veteran of Vietnam and Desert Storm and Desert Shield and still in the Air Force Reserves. But I'm calling about a specific couple of issues. One is the Bill of Rights for passengers. Is it something we need?
I think it is. And although the what happened in New York was the New York State legislature tried to basically do something that only the federal government can do, because that's preempted as a federal matter, anything to do with regulating aviation. So it was kind of doomed from the first, but it was a good gesture. I think Congress needs to pass pretty much the same thing. And the reason why, Michael, is it's the same thing that, you know, you and I used to talk about. The airlines refuse to stop pricing themselves below cost. And therefore, no matter how many sincere statements they make about how when things get bad, they're going to give the passengers the same rights that are in that Bill of Rights. In fact, the confusion from too few people and too few airplanes and too little money always puts the passengers back in the same situation. So I think there need to be some laws with teeth in them to make sure these airlines comply. After all, there is no Civil Aeronautics Board to make them comply anymore.
By the way, if I can turn the clock back just a moment and get a little nostalgic, we've had conversations when I think just about each and every one of your books came out, and I think you've written 17 major books.
Actually, you're very close. I'm impressed. It's 18, and I had one more out just a few years ago.
Oh, I just wasn't impressed with the 18th.
Okay, all right. I needed that.
What keeps you writing?
Basically, the need for money.
You see what you do? You tweak them a little bit, then they give you the honest answers.
I know. Those are
is flying. Funny,
in fact, I love to write, and I love to tell stories, and I love to incorporate that with technical things and things that I know and understand. And it has been true for a long time, and I felt like I've gotten better at it. The last book that I wrote, Orbit, I think was my personal best. I said that to Charlie Gibson on the air when we introduced it about 2 years ago, and I think he was startled, but it really was. And I've taken a hiatus, but I'm getting ready to get back to my next novel now. We've got to look for a new publisher, and we'll see where it goes from here.
I know you're running, but is flying getting less and less pleasant? And does it have to be that way?
It's an agony. It's just a blinking agony. There's just no two ways about it. It's gotten to the point where airline service has become an oxymoron, and the reason is not just deregulation, but the fact that, again, the airlines refuse to stop pricing themselves below cost, the fuel continues to rise, and they're always in a state of frantic denial that they cannot continue to do things the same way. Certain airlines, like American, who positioned themselves very well back in the 90s, yeah, are surviving very well. But others like United and, I should say American was the one that did well, United and Delta are in terrible circumstance, and things are getting worse.
I mean, I could fly myself to the moon if they would honor my miles, but I've got a feeling it's going to be impossible to get any of the flights I want utilizing the miles I've accrued.
Well, they've gotten a little better under the gun, because about every year somebody files a class action suit and wins it against half a dozen airlines for refusing to put enough flights up for the mileage redemption. But it is a problem for the airlines, because they've got billions of those miles out there, and if everybody tried to use them at once and could, they'd pretty much shut down the industry. So they back themselves into a corner, but it is not, it's a very, very poor strategy to bring you in and say, we're going to bind you into our airline with all these miles, but we're not going to let you use them without a struggle.
John Nance, you use the expression under the gun, which leads me to the cockpit. Do you know the story that comes to my mind?
I do indeed, and we're all still scratching our heads as to how the gentleman in the left seat, the captain of this particular airplane, managed to discharge a bullet out of a gun that he was putting back in his holster. What we don't know is why it was out of his holster to begin with, let alone during an approach to the airport.
Do many of the captains carry guns now on board in the cockpit?
We have quite a few in that program who are designated officers, flight officers with gun permits under this federal program. The White House, unfortunately, has dragged their feet for the last number of years and made it very difficult to get that certification. The FBI has done the training and in some cases has treated people with, and I have not been through it, but I've had friends who have, who were qualified in the military, who've been treated like babies. And it's
really
very upsetting to see the situation in which we've got enemies of this program who now are going to jump on this one incident and use it. As a matter of fact, there was an editorial in USA Today that begins to do that same thing.
It's headlined, Gunfire in the Cockpit.
Yes. an explosive situation, no pun intended.
Yeah, pun intended. You know what it's like? I remember once when we had the busing situation in this city, oh, decades ago, and there was a rather pompous judge who always, when I interviewed him, would say, in my humble opinion. And I said, anybody who says, in my humble opinion, doesn't believe his opinion is humble.
It's absolutely true. The shades of Ayn Rand in that one.
And air marshals, they exist, but why should I think that he's an air marshal because he brandishes a gun and shoots me?
Well, basically, the reason for the air marshals is to send a very clear and continuous message to anyone who would ever attempt another 9/11, in other words, taking over an airplane and using it as a missile, that you never know whether there are going to be one or two or four air marshals in there that are going to put a bullet in your head the second you stand up and attempt something. As long as we have that program, as long as they stay pretty difficult to identify, and as long as they behave themselves, that program is worth its weight in gold.
Really? What's the best plane you ever flew?
The Boeing 747, without question. The queen of the skies. I love her to death.
She's going to continue to do well, even though she's probably about your age.
Yeah, that's right. Probably 35.
Uh-huh. A little
older than that. Anyway, no. The
Don't let this guy have a gun in the cockpit.
That's right. 747, Michael, is one of the most resilient airframes and designs ever built. It's a magnificent airplane, magnificent design. Doesn't take away anything from anybody else, including Airbus. But the 74 and what Boeing achieved with that is really just timeless.
And finally, the Dreamliner. When's that going to come online? When will it be in use?
It's a little late, but the technology has to mature in ways that are unexpected. In other words, they did not know they were going to have a fastener problem. They did not know a number of things, but it is probably going to roll off the line and do first flight this summer. It'll be a little late in delivery, but when they get them out there, this will be the most successful launch of a commercial airliner in history. Over 800 of them sold so far.
Amazing. Amazing success before it even began. John Nance, I'm so glad aviation brought us back together again. It's years since last we spoke.
It has been, but I am so delighted to have you back on the air, and I know all of L.A. will be, and I look forward to us talking a lot more in the future.
God willing. Thanks so much, sir. He's written 18 books, as I said. The last one was awful, which is not true. I haven't read it, but, you know, he deserved that. He's a brilliant man, a lawyer, nationally renowned as an expert on aviation, which leads me to my question to you. For a while, care to speak about the best and the worst flights? What you think of flying now by comparison to the way it was, and if there's something you'd like to get off your chest on the subject of flying from here to wherever. Our phone number, 1-888-458-1260. 1-888-458-1260. And by the way, how long before the flight do you get to the airport? 1-888-458-1260. I'm Michael Jackson on News Talk 1260 and AM 540.
And now, more with Michael Jackson. Call now and share what's on your mind. 888-458-1260.
I hope you agree that was a nice start to the morning. As we continue, the phone number 1-888-458-1260. I'm Michael Jackson. This next topic I've never heard discussed on the radio. Maybe it's because it isn't sexy enough. I think it is, and we'll discover together. Maybe it isn't spoken about because ditto heads don't give a damn about small business. They care more for big business. That would be a short-sighted line of reasoning on my part. Perhaps it isn't a topic much spoken about because it takes some hard listening. Do you know what I mean? Particularly if you are involved with a small business, I would really relish your involvement in what we're about to do. Remembering that fully 98% of all American companies have fewer than 100 employees. Well over half of all Americans work for a small business, or they own a small business. In other words, small business really is the backbone of the nation's economy. Anyway, here's the situation. It is time to end the diversion of federal small business contracts to corporate giants. Actually, the most recent occasion I heard the topic discussed was in a speech by Obama. Companies receive federal small business contracts in several ways, including fraud, abuse, misrepresentation, acquisitions of small businesses by large businesses. How big a problem is it, and why should we care? On the line is the president of the ASBL, the American Small Business League, Lloyd Chapman. Was that okay?
That was fantastic.
You've just heard an in-depth interview with the president, Lloyd Chapman. Goodbye. Hello. Is it a serious, is it a big problem, or did I exaggerate a little?
I'll tell you something. Let's make it sexy.
Okay.
Let's make it sexy and interesting for people.
But you know what I mean by that.
Sure.
It
sure.
Isn't in your face enough.
Well, I'll tell you something funny. When I'm talking to journalists about this story, for example, in a newspaper, they have people that carry that cover small business stories and people that cover, you know, sports and government.
Yeah.
And the people that report on the small business stories are generally the junior reporters.
Really?
And so, you know, one thing about this story that's kind of interesting is it's actually more about fraud than it is, you know, a small business issue. I'll give you an example. So to try to make this sound more accurate, actually,
yeah.
How about $100 billion a year in government contracts that by law are supposed to go to middle-class America, but they've been diverted to some of the biggest companies in the world, companies in England, Holland, France, because government officials have taken bribes. That sounds sexier, doesn't it?
Yeah, it sure does. Sounds disgusting. But tell me a little bit about federal contracting. How are small businesses generally being treated?
Horribly. Absolutely horribly.
Is this bipartisan?
You know what? It's not bipartisan. There's a big misconception in America that the Republican Party is the party of business.
Yeah.
And that the Republicans are pro-big business, they're pro-small business, and the Democrats are anti-business. Well, I'm here to tell people that is not true. The Republican Party is the party of big business and the party of Fortune 500 corporations.
Yeah.
And in fact, I have to say, up until about maybe 5 or 6 years ago, I was probably a Republican. I grew up in a conservative Republican family in Houston, Texas. My father worked with the first President Bush in the Harris County Republican Party back in the 50s. And when George Bush was elected president, the current president, I just moved to California from Austin, Texas, and I was really happy to see a Texan from Austin in the White House. Well, I've since found out that my former hero, Ronald Reagan, tried to close the Small Business Administration in 1984 and 1985, and end all federal programs for women, minorities, and small businesses.
Wow, we don't talk about that very much.
No, we don't, and I was very disappointed. In 1996, Republican members of Congress proposed legislation again to close the only federal agency in Washington to help America's 26 million small businesses. And then when George Bush was elected president, one of the first things he did, I think the first week he was in office, was take the head of the Small Business Administration off of the White House cabinet, and he began to cut that agency's budget and staffing to the point that today it's barely open. And in fact, one Bush attorney told my attorney that Bush intends to starve the SBA to death and kill all federal programs for the little guy.
I got to find out why or their logic in a moment. Can I be unkind to you? Can I put you on hold for a second?
Sure.
Because Joanne's been holding, and she calls from Palmdale. Are you there, Joanne? I know your topic is not the one we're discussing, but I want to hear what you want to say.
Hi, how are you doing?
Very well.
I want to tell you a little story. On March the 13th, I'm a first-time flyer on March the 13th, getting on an airplane.
First time ever?
First time ever.
At what age?
54.
Why'd you wait so long? You wanted them to cut down from biplanes to single wings?
Oh, no, I've always been scared of flying. And I still was scared of flying that day.
And what happened?
Anyway, I had my plane ticket and everything, and we went to the airport. And I was singled out by one of the TSAs, the men that take your luggage and stuff.
Yeah.
There was a big ruckus there. I had to go. They wanted me to buy an extra ticket because I'm heavy.
You're heavy?
Yes. So they wanted me to spend another $760 for a ticket just to get on the airplane.
You didn't buy it, did you?
No, I didn't buy it.
Did they give you the bigger seat?
No, they didn't. Actually, my son and my daughter-in-law, they went in there to try to talk to him, and it was an argument because they wanted me to buy an extra ticket. So then they took the ticket down to $900.
Do you mind if I ask, because I can't see you, about how heavy are you?
Oh, let me see. I'm about,
No, not that
heavy
much.
Heavy as some people's, but I got some pretty good-sized hips on me. That's my problem.
I think you're showing off, madam. So did you fly? Or did the plane?
Yeah, on another airline that was more than glad to give me an extra strap.
Oh, really?
Yes.
You switched from which airline to which airline?
I started off with Southwest.
Yes.
But when my son got mad, so they denied me the flight. After they took another $382 out of my checking account without my authorization.
They shouldn't do that. Where were you flying to?
I was flying to Youngstown, Ohio. But I had to go into Akron. And
sounds like a romantic flight.
No, I was going for a funeral.
I can't win this morning, but I am trying. Anyway, will you do it again, Joanne?
I don't think so.
Why?
Then, who knows? I don't know. I might. But from what I experienced, I don't think so, because
there's a whole world out there waiting to see your hips.
Yeah, but once I got inside the airplane, then I had to be searched again.
That was the guy in the seat next to you. He was just a nasty man.
No, when they made me take off my shoes and go through my luggage, my purse, and rub up and down on my body, come on now. I don't have nothing on but my clothes.
I must tell you, I've never had a conversation quite like this at this time of the morning or any other time of day. But I hope it will keep us on a friendly relationship. Can we chat again?
Oh, man, you always chat again.
Thank you so very much. Lloyd, are you there?
I'm here.
Why didn't you hang up on me? Hey, hold a while. I want to go further on this topic. Because I want to know how big a problem it is, why we should care. We're speaking with the president of the ASBL, the American Small Business League. He's Lloyd Chapman. Care to talk small business and crooked government? I'm Michael Jackson on News Talk 1260 and AM 540.
Home sales dropped to a 13-year low in February. The decline was slightly worse than expected. The government also says the median price of a home sold last month dropped by more than 2.5% from the same time a year ago. The AP's James Limbach reports the prolonged housing slump has dragged down other parts of the economy.
Many analysts believe the housing slump could combine with other problems, including a severe credit crunch, soaring energy prices, and plunging consumer confidence to push the country into a full-blown recession.
In a speech to the U.S. Chamber of Commerce today, Treasury Secretary Henry Paulson says financial institutions need to step up to help promote a sound economy.
Our banks must continue to play their vital role of supporting the economy by making credit available to consumers and to businesses.
Paulson says the Bush administration will soon release a blueprint to promote a smoother functioning of financial markets. The Dow is down 108 points. AP Update. I'm Ed Donahue.
Closure at Terminal 1 at LAX. We'll have the details in seconds. I'm Doug Eldred with the latest news update from News Talk 1260 and 540. Another check of our Wednesday morning travels.
Good morning. In East LA, 10 West after Soto Street, a couple cars in the center stays busy over 2 Alameda on that West 10. West 60 before Hacienda Boulevard, two car wreck number 2 lane, slow from Fairway and continue slow over to Crossroads Parkway. Fullerton, West 91 before Magnolia, large tire tread in the 2 left lane, CHP running a traffic brake to clear it, and PCH southbound at Sycamore Canyon, a car apparently hit a bicyclist. Brought to you by National University. Reboot your career. Earn your BS in computer science from National University. Call 1-800-NATUNIV. That's traffic on News Talk 1260 and 540.
The all clear has been given after a suspicious item caused some real security concerns at LAX this morning. Spokesperson Albert Rodriguez says that a toy hand grenade had been discovered in someone's luggage around 7:30 near the Southwest Airlines counter. He says that Terminal 1 was briefly cleared while security teams made sure that the grenade was safe. The LAPD is investigating a fatal shooting that occurred in Hollywood earlier this morning. A spokesperson says that residents heard gunshots around 12:50 in the morning near the intersection of Van Ness and Sunset Boulevard. When they went out to see what happened, they found a man had been shot at least once. A 32-year-old man is dead after his truck veered off a North County road and went into a drainage ditch. Colin Wagsall died at the scene yesterday in the 2100 block of Encinitas Boulevard. The Escondido resident was ejected from the vehicle. Wall Street has seen the Dow down 106. NASDAQ is down by 25. We're brought to you by National University. Teach by example and educate yourself. Earn your MA in teaching from National University. Call 1-800-NATUNIV. Southland weather, the clouds burning away and then sunshine in the afternoon, 60s to 70s again. I'm Doug Eldred. That's the latest news update from News Talk 1260 and 540.
You're listening to Michael Jackson on News Talk 1260 and 540. To speak with Michael, call 888-458-1260. That's 888-458-1260.
We're talking about 85% of American business, small business. We're having conversation with the president of the ASBL, the American Small Business League, Lloyd Chapman. How big an issue? I mean, does it impact on me? I don't hire people. I don't fire people. I don't have an individual business. Why should I care?
Well, basically, we're talking about $100 billion a year that's supposed to go to the middle-class economy.
From what?
From the federal government.
To do what?
Contracts. So you're talking about $100 billion a year in federal contracts.
But I've got much more likelihood of getting the money from the federal government, getting the contract, if I'm big.
Well, that's true. That's true. But let's just say if you're just a regular citizen in Los Angeles, this is affecting them because just like the economic stimulus package is supposed to boost the economy, when the Bush administration pulls $100 billion a year in funds out of middle-class America, that causes a downturn in the middle-class economy. So I think everyone's affected by it.
I remember hearings back in 2003, and I don't remember the congressional hearings. I have no idea what the theme was and the outcome.
Well, it was interesting. The first congressional hearing I ever testified, and it was like on television, a big long table with all these people and standing room only, and it was 5.5 hours long.
And you stood and said, it is not addicting. I did not have sex with that woman. What was the message you were getting across, and how was it received?
Well, I'll tell you something. That's the day that I quit being a Republican. How about that?
No, really?
Yeah, absolutely. The day before the hearing, I met with Donald Manzullo, a congressman from Illinois, who was the chairman of the Small Business Committee. Excuse me, of the House Small Business Committee.
Right.
And I gave him this 3-inch thick binder I'd spent months on of all the evidence of fraud in the government that I'd found and all the big companies. And I'd seen him do a hearing on television, and he was really sort of grilling the people. And, you know, I thought, this guy's going to get to the bottom of this. So when I went and sat down the hearing, the SBA spokesman came in, a guy named Fred Armendariz, who I think is from Southern California, by the way. And Fred had that book, and he dropped it on the table in front of me from about 2 feet in the air to let me know that this hearing wasn't going to go the way I thought it was.
In those days, of course, we had a Republican majority in both the House and the Senate.
Absolutely. So what I thought was going to be a, you know, fire and brimstone hearing to get to the bottom of the fraud was a five-and-a-half-hour pep rally for the Bush administration. I was just horrified.
So who's getting the federal small business contracts? What's the breakdown, and why?
Well, you've got small businesses like Lockheed and Boeing and Halliburton.
Small businesses?
Yeah. You've got small businesses like, how about British Aerospace and Engineering, the third largest defense contractor in the world. They get $200 million a year. You've got small businesses like Walmart, Microsoft, and Rolls-Royce.
They get...
Absolutely.
Well, don't laugh. It affects your guys.
Pardon me?
I say that must be expensive to small business.
Oh, sure. Think about being a small business, you know, in Los Angeles with 20 or 30 employees.
Yeah.
And you're trying to get some orders for office products or computers from the government.
Yeah.
And you're competing with Fortune 500 corporations. It doesn't turn out well.
So the bigger you are, the more you get.
Well,
deservedly or otherwise.
Right now, under the Bush administration, that's true. So it looks like most of all these contracts are supposed to go to small businesses, you know, in every state, in Los Angeles and Northern California, are going to these big companies. But here's the good news. Guess who's going to save the day for us? California Senator Barbara Boxer. She's written a piece of legislation called the Small Business Fairness and Transparency in Contracting Act, and hopefully she'll get it introduced here pretty soon. I think they're looking for a Republican co-sponsor, and if Senator Boxer can get that bill introduced and passed, California's going to get, I would guess, somewhere around maybe $5 billion a year in additional government contracts.
She's a hardworking person, keeps a pretty low profile, but we are blessed with two United States senators who are, I think, quite amazing, both in Feinstein and Boxer.
They're amazing, both of them. In fact, to tell you the truth, I've met Senator Boxer on a number of occasions and Senator Feinstein, and every time I see them, I realize they just flew in from Washington probably, you know, the day before, and I can't imagine keeping the kind of schedule they have to keep, you know. If you're a senator from somewhere on the East Coast, you know, you fly back and forth, maybe an hour flight, but think about Senator Boxer and Feinstein having to fly back to California probably, God knows, you know, 50 times a year. They are two of the hardest working women in Congress.
Now I'm going to get political for a moment. Democrats, representatives in the Senate, don't choke. They're nice people. Who are you for? I've got a feeling. I'm writing down a name.
For president?
Yeah.
Well, I like Barack Obama.
I just wrote that down. I was convinced you'd say that. Why? Because you know Boxer will be for former relative Hillary.
Well, I'll tell you something. I was for Hillary up until a few months ago, and our organization contacted all three campaigns just to sort of educate them on the issue, quite frankly.
Is that the American Small Business League?
Yes.
Okay.
And I'm just trying to, you know, make them aware of the issue and try to get the issue into the presidential campaign. Barack Obama's office responded and was very, very interested, and we began talking to them, and he came out with a statement opposing the diversion of federal small business contracts to, Fortune 500 corporations. And then I started looking at his campaign and paying more attention to it. And the thing that impressed me the most is that Obama's not taking money from lobbyists and special interest. And I want to say that's unprecedented. I don't, you know, I'm not aware of anyone who's run for president in my lifetime that that did that. And I'm very impressed by that.
Okay, I mentioned May of 2003, the first congressional hearing on the issue we're discussing. Since then, there must have been at least a dozen federal investigations on, the word you used was the diversion of federal small business contracts to large corporations. If that's accurate, with that in mind, why is the problem still going on?
Good question.
Don, I try to ask them.
Well, let's just see if we can figure this out.
Okay.
So can you guess who's got more clout in Congress? Small businesses or Fortune 500 corporations?
Obviously, the answer should be small business because 85% of our businesses qualify as small with 100 or fewer employees. But I know from the giggle that it's the other way around.
Absolutely. I believe today there are 60 lobbyists for every member of Congress in Washington.
60.
And the vast majority of them work for these large corporations. And big businesses want to keep that money. We're talking about $100 billion a year. And they've lobbied pretty aggressively to kill any type of policies or legislation that would get that money back in the hands of legitimate small businesses. And they're a pretty tough opponent.
Who then specifically, if anyone, is to blame for the overall problem?
I would blame George Bush right now.
Oh, I'd enjoy that. I beg your pardon.
George.
Boy George.
Yeah, George. Georgie.
Oh, that's somebody else. I'm sorry. Is it out of ignorance or conviction? Not by you. I mean by him.
On his part, probably a combination of both. I think that when you look at the Bush administration and who contributes to their campaign,
big business,
it's the very companies that are getting these contracts. And
so you have a lawsuit against the SBA?
Yes, we're suing the Small Business Administration for the fourth time, and we're trying to uncover simply the names of who the Bush administration is referring to. They come out with a press release every year. 1 year they said it's a victory for America when the Bush administration gave $80 billion in contracts to small businesses. So I said, that's great. Who got the money? And they said, well, we can't tell you. So now I'm suing them to get the names of these companies.
On what grounds would they not tell you? It's our money.
Well, you know what? Just last Friday, the Bush administration responded to our lawsuit in federal court in San Francisco, and they won't tell us why they won't tell us. So not only will they not give us the names of the companies, but in their filings with the federal court, they're not telling us why they won't give it to us, which is very unusual, by the way. Generally, they'll say, well, we're not going to give it to you because under such and such of the Freedom of Information Act, it's exempt. But they're not doing that. So it's sort of unprecedented, quite frankly, to see that the federal government not giving information under the Freedom of Information Act that should be made public. It's amazing.
If Senator Obama, getting topical and political again, if he should be elected, what's your expectation? What impact would it have on small businesses?
I think it would be huge. One thing that would happen is that the only agency in Washington to help small businesses, the Small Business Administration, would be able to open their doors again. I think he would restore the budget and the staff and the programs to help veteran-owned firms, woman-owned firms, minority-owned firms, and small businesses. And I can guarantee you that probably within the first 90 days of him taking office, you're going to see legislation passed or federal policies adopted. They're going to stop some of the biggest companies in Europe and Fortune 500 companies here in America from getting small business contracts, and I think every small business in America will be able to feel that.
Okay, but what impact would it have on small business if Senator Clinton or McCain won?
I'll have to say if McCain becomes president, it's not going to be good for small businesses. Republicans have about a 25-year track record of opposing federal small business programs. You can go to Google and Google abolish the Small Business Administration or abolish the SBA, and you can see stories online.
What would we gain? I mean, what would they think? It would surely be a Pyrrhic victory if they succeeded. You can't get rid of the SBA, can you?
Well, they've tried. They've tried. In fact, I was when I Googled that title, a listing for Vanderbilt University came up, and they have all the old news programs that talk about that, and they loan them out. So I contacted them, and I watched all these programs, and their videos of ABC and CBS and news stories of David Stockman, Ronald Reagan's budget director, debating members in Congress like Carl Levin that they want to close the Small Business Administration. And luckily, Democratic members of Congress back then stopped them.
On that note, can I stop you for just a moment? We're having conversation with the president of the ASBL, the American Small Business League. He's Lloyd Chapman. I'd love to know what problems you face as somebody who works with, for, or runs a small business. And do you think you have a fair opportunity to call upon the money we send to Washington, D.C. by comparison to big business? Our phone number, 1-888-458-1260, 1-888-458-1260. I'm Michael Jackson on News Talk 1260 and AM 540. My absolute favorite, so help me, small business, Duxiana. They're the people who make the duck's beds. And for you, you should do it. You should be willing to do something really special, really good for yourself. How about, dream about this, a great night's sleep in a really cozy bed, night after night after night. It'll happen in a duck's bed if it happens anywhere. You can sleep well every night. The duck's bed. It lives up to its reputation of being the best way to get a good night's sleep, a great night's sleep. Duck's beds, they're beyond comfortable. DUX, experience the duck's bed for yourself by visiting your Duxiana store as soon as you can. They're available exclusively at Duxiana stores in West Hollywood, Newport Beach, Redondo Beach, Westlake Village, Encino, or visit ducks.com. That's DUX.com, or call 800-595-2000. 800-595-2000. Ducks.
Welcome back to the Michael Jackson Show on News Talk 1260 and 540.
Okay, sort of setting the scene again briefly. 98%. 98% of all American companies have fewer than 100 employees. Well over half of all Americans work for a small business. In other words, small business, the backbone of the nation's economy. Here's the situation. We have to end the diversion of federal small business contracts to corporate giants. Actually, the most recent occasion that I heard the topic discussed was in an Obama speech. Companies receive federal small business contracts in several ways, including, according to my guest, fraud, abuse, misrepresentation, and acquisitions of small businesses by the large businesses. Having said all that, on the line with us still we have the president of the American Small Business League, and here's a call from Faye in Brentwood. Hi, Faye.
Good morning.
Morning.
Good morning, gentlemen. How are both of you this morning?
Very well.
Michael, I'm so glad to hear you have this guest on. I have, my partner and I have owned a board and care, well, really it's bigger than a board and care, for about 12 years in Brentwood. But what I tell you is that when Bush became president and all his faith-based initiatives and the way he returned the way that the priorities that we received money, we have been just shut out of the system unless you, A, have connections in Washington, B, have a lot of money yourself and you don't need them, then you're just running business by the hair of your chinny chin chin.
Faye, you look clean shaven to me. Faye, how many years in business?
12.
Never received a small business loan?
Never.
Lloyd, care to address
that?
I have
applied many times.
Well, I'll tell you something, Faye. You should talk to your congressman about that. So if you've applied for an SBA loan, I'll tell you, SBA loans are actually given by banks, and they're guaranteed by the SBA. So the SBA doesn't actually loan money, but they guarantee loans. So if you've applied for an SBA-guaranteed loan and been declined, talk to your congressman, and they can do something about it. What scares the people at the SBA is what's called a congressional inquiry. So if
okay.
a congressman calls in and say, hey, I've got a constituent who's trying to get a loan, and you turn her down, why is that? They don't like that. So call your congressman, talk to them about it, and there's a good chance that they can intercede on your behalf and maybe help you out with that.
I'll do that today.
Would you really? Faye.
A phone call.
I need a phone call from you. Faye, I need another call from you when you get some action, either positive or negative. Would you?
I sure will. And thank you so much for the show, Michael.
You're very kind. God bless her. Faye in Brentwood. So how much more, literally, could small businesses receive after you... And do I go too far after you remove the large corporations?
I would say at least $100 billion a year. That would be at least and potentially up to $150 billion a year. So that would be about the size of the current government economic stimulus package, but it would be every year, in perpetuity. So it would be a dramatic infusion of capital to middle-class America. And like I said, every small business in the country would notice it, whether you work with the government or not. I think, again, with Obama in the White House.
Or Hillary. If you agree with that statement, I mean, I didn't pose it as a question.
Well, you know what? I'll tell you this. If it's really up to Barbara Boxer. If Barbara Boxer can get that fantastic bill she's written passed through Congress, it would be huge. California, in fact, I saw the other day that they're having to close some schools here in California because of a lack of funds.
Yeah.
If Senator Boxer can get that bill passed, California can get a huge infusion of government small business contracts, and I think it would probably boost the California economy enough that we wouldn't have to close schools anymore.
What's the likelihood of that happening? They don't have the wonderful 60 votes they would like in the Senate, but maybe after the election could happen. But before then, what's the likelihood of we are seeing passage of that bill?
I think it's highly likely. I've walked the Senate and the House for about 3 years now, and when you sit down with which I have done, an ultra conservative member of Congress, from the South or someplace, and you say, Senator, let me ask you a question: what do you think about your constituents losing a $2,000 government order for a computer to a company in Holland?
Yeah. Why?
They don't like it. So no matter what your political affiliation is, Republican, Democrat, I've talked to the most conservative Republican people on the planet, and they don't think that companies in England and Holland and France should be taking small business contracts away from American companies. So I think it's got a good chance of passing.
But on what grounds? How do they get away with it?
Well, you know, again, it's kind of complicated, but the federal government, remember there's a law now, a federal law that says that 23% of all government contracts should go to small businesses.
Yes.
And the way the Bush administration has chosen to hit that goal is to consider AT&T a small business. And that's one way to get around it. I mean, how does Bush get around anything, right? So they just Air Force One. Yeah. They just report contracts to AT&T as small business contracts. And again, I want people to remember, there have been 12 federal investigations that show this.
So you would like to have large firms removed?
Absolutely. It's a pretty simple request.
Is it?
No, I'd like to have Fortune 500 companies removed from the government's database of small businesses. Those small businesses in Southern California don't have to compete with Fortune 500 corporations for a $2,000 order for office products.
And they probably have better lawyers and lobbyists.
Oh, absolutely. In fact, the companies that are benefiting from these contracts retain the most powerful lobbyists in Washington. And while a small business advocate like myself or a taxpayer can call their congressmen, their senators, when you go to Washington, by the way, to lobby, you're talking to staffers.
Mm-hmm.
And when the big businesses want to talk to someone, they're on their private jet.
With the CEO.
Absolutely.
What kind of business do you run, sir?
I don't have a business anymore. I used to be in the computer business. I'm running the American Small Business League full-time now, but I got involved in this back, I guess, 5-6 years ago when I was in the computer business, and a young woman in my office spent about 3 months on a government proposal, a bid. It was called a set-aside contract. Maybe a lot of your viewers that work with the government may have heard that. And that means a contract is only supposed to be bid on by small businesses. And she lost it to a Dutch company with 26,000 employees. That's how I got involved in it.
A Dutch company. There we go again. How do they qualify? If it's genuinely a Dutch company or a British company or an Indian company. And by the way, with India in mind, I gather they're taking over Jaguar. Seriously.
Really?
Yeah.
Well,
maybe we'll help them pay for it.
Could be. Here's how it happens. Now, think about this. In fact, let me ask you a question. If you got to decide, Michael.
Yes.
If a big company like General Motors, what was that lady saying the cold while ago from Brentwood?
Faye.
Okay. Let's say General Motors buys Faye's company. What's a reasonable time frame to allow General Motors to keep Faye's small business status when they acquire her company? What do you think?
You have to answer because I'm out of time. What's the answer?
Well, the government thought 20 years was a good idea.
They're out of there. Thank you so much for this explanation and your time. Be well, sir.
All right.
That's it for the first of our 2 hours.